Well, first off, I want to thank Jerry so much for asking me to teach this weekend. This is just, beyond my wildest dreams. To be here with you guys and to get into the Word together like this, it's just awesome. There's nothing greater. So, let's get down to it. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6. So I wanted to look at this morning some things that help us along in our believing. You know, God, by way of his word, helps us along with our believing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, it says, you know, in Romans 10:17. And God is just so loving and kind how he takes care of our hearts. He helps us along with our believing. So here in Matthew 6, we'll look at verse 26. It says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Well, yeah, we're better than a stupid bird, right? Heck yeah, I know that. I'm better than a bird. It says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little believing?" You know, so cool. God is just awesome. Verse 31, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." You know, those are the things that the unbelievers seek after, you know. And it says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things." God knows what we have need of, you know, and he helps us along in our believing by way of his word. I have been on a bird kick lately. That's why I was so into this verse. "Behold the fowls of the air." Because, okay, so I have this hanging basket that's right outside my front window on my porch. And somehow or another, the plant died. I don't really know. It might have something to do with the fact that I forgot to water it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But this mama bird chose to make her nest in that beautiful little dead flower pot. And, you know, and it's been so cool because over the last about 2 weeks, I've gotten to see this mama bird just sitting on those eggs, you know, just waiting, just sitting on those eggs. And just so cool, I thought, wow, if God could take care of this mama bird that she could find a spot, a safe spot to make her nest, you know, what couldn't God do for me? What couldn't God do for you? You know, he does these things for us to help us along with our believing. He'll take care of us. Look at verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, we seek God first. We seek after God's word, the things of God, and God takes care of the rest. He helps us along with our believing. And it's so cool. It's such a treat. Look at Luke, please, chapter 12. Another bird verse. I told you, I'm on a bird kick. And in Luke 12, verse 6, it says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God." Not one. Nobody gets missed with God. Not one. Not one of them. And then it says, "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." God's constantly reassuring us by way of his word. You know, he settles us down. He reassures us that he is going to perform his word for you and for me. You know, that his willingness equals his ability. His care for us is just more than we could ever dream. You know, And here he says, "Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." How loving and kind our God is. Please turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Here in Jeremiah, we're going to see just a really cool Orientalism where God just took care of Jeremiah's heart. He gave Jeremiah a commission. You know, he sent Jeremiah for a purpose. He gave him a promise. And then God showed him something to take care of his heart. I'm going to start in verse 7, please, of Jeremiah 1. "But the Lord said unto me, Say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." And then skip down to verse 11, please. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree." Now, an almond tree is unlike any other tree in that it flowers, it buds, and it brings forth its fruit, an almond, all at the same time. And not only that, but it is the first tree to bloom in the springtime, the first one. God was helping Jeremiah along in his believing. Verse 12 says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." Wow. God will hasten his word to perform it, just like that almond tree that's the first to bloom, and it's got it all going on at once. That's what God will do, you know. God will hasten his word to perform it. You know, God gave Jeremiah his word, and he helped him along, you know, with his believing. And God does that for us, too. You know, God's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of believing. What he's done for me, he will do for you. What he's done for you, he could do for me. You know, his willingness equals his ability. And that part where it says, "I will hasten my word to do it," I looked at a Young's literal translation, and it says, "For I am watching over my word to do it." You know, how cool is that? That's our God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, please. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to take a look at verse 1. And it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Believing, it's that title deed, you know, of things prayed for, the evidence that they are yours before they are seen. Those promises of God are ours before we see it come to pass. It's totally outside of the five senses realm, you know, but it's ours. We've got that ownership, that title deed, you know. You gotta fake it till you make it, right? Well, that's how it goes. That's believing. So now I wanted to shift and look at some things that we can do that'll help us along in our believing. And we're gonna look at the state mind, positive confession, and taking believing action on God's word. So if you will, please turn to Isaiah 26. Stayed mind. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." God does the keeping, right? We stay our mind on God's word. We go to God's word, we find that word of God for you and for me, you know, and then you stay your mind on it. And then God does the keeping, you know? He does the heavy lifting, right? We've got the easy part, you know? We just got to find that word of God and stay our mind on it. God does the keeping, right? And it builds that trust, you know? It says, because he trusteth in thee. I wanted to read from a little section from The Bible Tells Me So, Release from Your Prisons. It says, a camera offers an appropriate analogy of the means by which you can get results to prayer and find release from your prisons. If you want an answer to prayer, first get your object in mind, number one. You select what you want in your picture. This is step one. You're clear on what you want, right? Secondly, you use the rangefinder and focus the subject properly. Then you consider the length of exposure of the picture so that all factors may work together for a perfect picture. After all this, you shoot that picture. Then it says, when you are focused on the picture of what you want, keep your mind stayed on it. If you allow something else to come in and take precedence over the picture, you will get a blurred answer to prayer. You will not get the results you desire. You will not get the release from the prisons which are encasing you. And then this next part says, if you want to get rid of something today, you must focus, dwell on what you want. It is the introduction of light that dispels darkness, not the dwelling on the darkness that introduces light. Right? I love that part. I'm going to read it again because it's important. It's the introduction of light, the light of God's word, right, that dispels darkness, not the dwelling on the darkness that introduces light. If you want to get out of your prisons today, immediately change your thinking about your situation. Change that your subject of focus. As you change your thinking, you will draw a mental pattern for the things you do want in your life, which in turn will dispel and root out those things you do not want. You know, we stay our mind on God's word. We get to that word of God for you and for me, and then we stay our mind on it. We don't let anything else come in there. And, you know, I think of train tracks, okay? It's like, you know how there's train tracks and then there's like a fork and the train could go this way or it could go that way, right? And so it could start going this way and then like, I just picture like, I don't know who does the conductor or somebody, like, burp, burp, they change it and then it goes whoop this way. Well, that's what it is. We can make new mental patterns of going the way of God's word. You know, oh, I'm used to going down this way. Nope, not anymore, folks. This way, you know. We just make those new habit patterns in our minds, you know, of going God's way, doing things the way of God's word. Turn to Psalm 1, please. You know, in Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, we are what we think. What do you think of yourself? How do you picture yourself? You know, what's the image that you carry of yourself in your heart? Is it what the word of God says? If it's not, it's a lie. You know, we got to put on the word of God. I am what the word of God says I am, you know, so cool. So, in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man, in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, day and night. And that meditate is to like utter or murmur to oneself. You remind yourself of God's word. You're thinking of God's word day and night. And the result, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, like this tree here, planted by the rivers of water. I paid them to do that. Right? You'll have that fruit, just like, you know, God told Jeremiah that he would hasten his word to perform it. It'll all be there, you know. God will perform his word for you and for me. His willingness equals his ability, you know. And God is so kind and so loving with us, how he helps us along with our believing. Turn to the Gospel of John, please. So all these professionals or whatever would do this mental practice thing, okay? So like sportsmen and people like that, Arnold Palmer would do this thing where he would, I know, he made a really good drink, Arnold Palmer. God rest his soul. But, right? So they do this thing where he would picture himself going down the golf course, right? And he would just picture himself going stroke by stroke, putt by putt, hitting the hole each and every time perfectly, right? And he was super successful. And this is the same thing that we can do. We picture ourselves doing God's word, going the way of God's word, you know? Picture yourself getting somebody healed, ministering God's word to somebody. Picture yourself operating all nine manifestations, you know? Picture yourself walking out with great boldness, confidently sharing God's word with somebody, leading somebody into speaking in tongues, raising somebody from the dead. You know, it's all right there for us. And we can picture ourselves doing these things, you know? And I want to look at John 14, please. Gospel of John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. We can do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater works. Picture yourself doing those greater works, you know, the works that Jesus Christ did and greater. You know, these are things that help us along in our believing. You know, believe that you are what the Word of God says you are. Okay, now we're going to get into positive confession. So Romans chapter 10, please. We've been taught that what a person confesses in his innermost being is what he brings into manifestation in his life. Confession of belief yields receipt of confession, right? And that's how we got our salvation after all. Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, right? We get that confession from our mouth and the belief in our heart in tune, synchronized with the word of God, and then we have great power. We get to manifest all that God's got for us, you know? All the great things of God that he has for us, we get by believing his word, you know. Look at Philippians 4, please. Philippians 4, 13. These are all verses you guys probably have memorized. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, confess that about yourself. Believe that in the depth of your heart. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, in that translation, it says, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. We make that positive confession of what the Word of God says, and we believe it in the depths of our heart, you know. And we see God bring his word to pass. He helps us along with our believing. Look at Job 27. I love Job. This guy went through all hell. And yet he never turned his back on God. Not even once. He lost everything. You know, had some miserable comforters. He was sick. And, you know, had some physical stuff to deal with. And yet he confessed in the depth of his soul what the word of God said. So Job 27, and we'll look at verse 6. It says, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. You know, confessed what the Word of God said. He didn't let anything shake him, you know? And Jesus Christ did the same thing, right? When he was tempted of the adversary, he confessed and believed the Word of God, and he was able to back down the adversary, you know? And we can do that too. God's given us his Word. Let's take it, you know? Like Jerry shared last night. Okay, now we're going to look at believing action. Turn to Romans chapter 4. All believing connotes action. You know, like we already saw in Hebrews 11, believing is the title deed. You know, it's that proof that it's ours before it's seen. And in Romans 4, we're going to look at good old Abe. In verse 18, it says, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." You know, he took that word of God that was to him, and he walked out on it believingly. You know, he acted upon God's word, you know, and he saw it through till God brought his word to pass. And that's what we do too. You know, like that mama bird. I told you guys the bird was going to come up again. That mama bird, you know, I've been watching her, and she just stays put on those eggs, you know. And, you know, the only time she would get off of the eggs was when my kids would, like, run to the window and, like, they're trying to be quiet, but them being quiet is, like, not quiet at all. So, you know, they're running over, and the mom's like, ah, like, taking off, you know. But then she would always come back, and she'd get right back on those eggs, you know. And it was the coolest because a couple days before we came here, I got to see them hatch. They're little babies. There's like 4 little fuzzy baby birdies. But it's so cool. Well, that's what we can do with the Word of God. We stay put on God's Word until it comes to pass. We walk out on it. We act upon the Word of God. And we see it through. You know, look at Hebrews 12, please. Almost done here. In Hebrews chapter 12, here right after this wonderful chapter, Hebrews 11, where you have the Hall of Fame of believers, you know, all these incredible Old Testament believers that took God's word and walked out on it believingly. God's word that was to them, they held on to it, and they walked out on it believingly. And they got to see God do incredible things. They overcame incredible odds. Because they believed, you know, and they saw it through. So here in lies chapter 12, and in verse 1 it says, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, we set aside the sin, you know, and every weight. You know, set it aside, get rid of it, you know. Do what you need to do, get to the word, and get rid of the garbage that holds us back, you know. God wants us released from everything that encases us. Get rid of it, you know. And then we can run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, God has given us a great calling, you know. We got to walk out on the calling that God has given to us. We've been given a word of reconciliation and a ministry of reconciliation. And we can walk out on that. So lay it aside, right? There's a race set before us. And then, verse 2, look away from everything else, all else, and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The guy who got the job done, he walked out believingly on the word of God. He carried it out so that we could get saved to the uttermost. You know, he's our guy, the guy who got the job done, right? Who for the joy that was set before him. And that's us. We were the joy that was set before him, right? You know, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down. He's set down because he did it. You know, it's done. It's a done deal. Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, and we can have that believing action to carry it out until the job is done. Turn to the Gospel of John, and this is where we're going to close. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, please, and we'll look at verse 31. So let me set the scene for you here. Jesus Christ was just with the woman at the well, you know, sharing the word of God with her, and she's gone back to go tell all the men folk. She's all excited, you know, and here we are in verse 31, and Jesus Christ, it's just him, and he's doing what he does. He's hanging with his disciples. And it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They're all like, did you bring him some? I didn't bring, where did he get some food? And then verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, right? And he did, right? You know, we've been saved. Our salvation is a done deal. But Jesus Christ had that believing action. He carried it out and did the job until the job was done. And then this is so beautiful in verse 35. He says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. You know, Jesus Christ knew when the harvest was. He's just trying to help them along with their believing. It says, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. You know, Jesus Christ was seeing things spiritually. You know, and he was trying to help the disciples to see things spiritually too. He was telling them that the time for the word of God to move is now, you know, that people had needs, you know, just like it talks about in Matthew 9, you know, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And it's the same today, right now, you know, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. We've been given a ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. Let's believe the calling that we've been given. Let's walk out with great confidence and boldness, you know, and walk out with the greatness of God's word that he's given to us. It's ours. We can take it. So God helps us along with our believing. He meets us right where we're at, and he's constantly reassuring and reaffirming his word to us, and that his willingness equals his ability to perform his word. You know, our response, our part, is we can stay our minds on God's word, see ourselves doing it, confess what the word of God says, and believe it in our hearts, and take believing action on God's word. I'd like to read a poem. Okay. It'll be quick-ish. So this is called Don't Quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You might succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tent of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. So God bless you. This was fun. Thank you.